May I ask you to take your Bibles, please, and go to Hebrews chapter 10 this evening. Hebrews chapter 10. As we try to safely make the journey to glory together, we want to recognize the gift it is to be among God's people as fellow pilgrims, pursuing a city whose builder and maker is God. That we're recognizing here we have no lasting city, so our eyes are looking toward the one that is to come. And as we're marching that pathway together, I've been trying to suggest that we should see what's going on in other people's lives. We consider one another how to provoke to love and good works. We're taking care or being diligent so that there not be any hardness of heart or deceptiveness of sin that take place. We're trying to see to it that no root of bitterness springs up, defiling many. So all of these texts call us to be attentive to see, but also that we would actually sympathize with those who are struggling, whether that's a struggling that's coming because, if I could put it this way, sort of circumstantial, they're getting hit with persecution or trial or testing, or whether they're struggling with obedience and following Christ, right? We should recognize and have a kind of sympathy for those who are in that position, because we ourselves will find ourselves in those positions, right? And so we are supposed to be ministering to each other, and then where we need to, we can step in and help shoulder the burden and share what is necessary to help meet that need. And then the fourth we've begun unpacking is we seek to speak God's truth. And three broad categories of that: encourage, edify, exhort. And we have looked at encourage part one. We're going to look at part two this evening. All right, so look at verse 25 of Hebrews chapter 10, just to ground it in our responsibility, not forsaking our own assembling together as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. So last week we looked at what it was, when it should happen. It's really, we're speaking truth to give courage, instill confidence, cheer to others. When it should happen is as long as it is called today. Chapter 3 says, right? Daily, while it is called today. So we should constantly be thinking, how can we encourage those around us? And recognizing that even if there's no appearance of need for it, there always is a need for encouragement, right? As long as it is called today, we should be encouraging one another. And why? We did a little survey in Hebrews of the kinds of things that the writer of Hebrews was writing to try and help these people with, whether that was the deceitfulness of sin or the danger of hardening of the heart, whether it was that they were starting to become sluggish in their spiritual growth, whether it was that they were starting to be discouraged and lose heart, or they were starting to lose their confidence and commitment to what they'd previously held to. All of those things in this book surface and more, really, if we wanted to go sort of line by line. The reality of it is there's just about as many ways as which we could be discouraged as there are people and circumstances in our life. And some are prone to it more than others, right? But no one is immune to it, right? Everyone faces the struggle and challenge of following Christ faithfully. So we should be ready to come alongside of encourage. And I gave broad strokes of what that would be. And that's what we're going to then zero down in on. But there were three ways in which I encourage us to think about it. The first is to point upward, right? The great source of encouragement is actually in God himself, his faithfulness and his work. So we are always helping somebody if we're turning them to the source of courage, God. And that's what the writer of Hebrews does, for instance, in 12, he says, you know, consider Jesus, look to him, right? Or consider him as the patriarchs did. They counted him faithful who had promised. And so the writer of Hebrews is trying to get us to look away from our confidence being ultimately in us, but have it be rooted in God. The reason we should think that we can stand is not because of us, right? And that's where sort of the human approach to encouragement is to build up the person, right? You can do this. You can do this. I'm confident in you, right? Which I'm not, depends on what you're talking about, right? On a horizontal plane, there's probably a ton of things that we could encourage them to handle, things that are matters of sort of common grace. But when it comes to our walk with Christ and faithfulness to him, that's actually an issue of God's special grace, which we need and must have dependence on him. And so we're not actually trying to look to their own resources, but to look to God's and be sure that those are sufficient, right? Their real source of encouragement comes from that. Like David and at the end of 1 Samuel, where everybody's turning against him because all of their property and their families were taken away, and they're literally talking about killing David. And it says, David encouraged himself in the Lord, right? He couldn't look around at the bleak circumstances and sort of, talk himself into thinking that they're going to be great. He had to turn his attention to God. And so we need to point people upward, because that's the ultimate answer in God's faithfulness. But what we do see the writer of Hebrews do is remind them of God's inward work in them. You remember in chapter 10 where it says, when you first came, right? This was what was in your heart because of the work of God. And so he directs them to the preceding inward work of God and the demonstration of God's grace in them to encourage them, right? Look at what God has done in your life and through your life previously, right? Again, it's God work, because if you think about it, if we expand it out from the book of Hebrews and think of all the places where the Apostle Paul is expressing thanks for what he sees in people, right? He's actually thanking God for the work of grace that's happened in them. So there's actually that dual kind of emphasis, that they would be encouraged by seeing the hand of God's grace in them. And he's publicly recognizing that and reminding them of how God has worked in their life previously, because that actually causes you to have courage that God will do the same kinds of work in the future, right? Because the person's beginning to have their confidence wane, they need to be reminded of what God has previously done so that they can have some optimism about what God's going to do. They can be encouraged in that way. So point upward, remind them of the inward work of grace of God, and then as the writer of Hebrews does continually, he actually pushes them forward toward the promises of God, right? Hold fast the confidence, because it has great reward. Right? Be like Moses, who endured as seeing him who is invisible, because he had respect for the recompense of the reward. Right? Moses knew that in the calculus going on, the treasures of Egypt and the pleasures of sin do not carry the scale, even when put aside alongside of the reproaches of Christ and enduring hardship for his name. right? Because the one is by its definition passing and ultimately deeply unfulfilling. And the one, though presently is difficult, it actually has eternal value. So the writer of Hebrews is continually pushing us toward, or pushing us forward, I should say, in the midst of hard things to remember the outcome of those things, right? That this, if I borrow Paul's language from 2 Corinthians chapter 4, this light affliction, which is but for a moment, works a far more exceeding eternal weight of glory. So we don't walk by sight, we walk by faith. So when we try to encourage people, we need to make certain that we are putting them on solid ground of encouragement. Because I can't honestly tell them that they're going to escape from every difficulty they face. Right? Someone gets a terminal diagnosis and I'm supposed to, oh, you can do this. Right? Anything you can conceive and believe, you can achieve. Right? I'm supposed to somehow get their will stimulated so that they can create the future, when I don't have any solid ground for that, because there is not a foolproof promise of God that you will overcome that terminal illness this side of the grave. You will overcome it because you've been promised the resurrection. It won't win, right? You won't lose to death if you're in Christ. But nobody can go, no believer will ever die, right? Because you'd have to think about that. Because if I can overcome any terminal illness, then that means I can actually overcome death. I can just keep pushing it out because of the power of my belief. But the scriptures would never say that to us. So if I try to give somebody encouragement that's on the thin ice of human platitude, I may make them feel better for a moment, but I actually possibly have set them up for a deeper discouragement. Right, what I have to do is make certain that what I'm speaking is true. And therefore, it takes in a broader conception than the present circumstance, because we are not people just of the present circumstance. We are people of the promise, right? We have a lasting city that's coming. We have one whose builder and maker is God. There is a reward for those who've trusted in Christ. And that's where we have to move for ultimate encouragement. So point them upward, remind them inwardly of God's grace, push them forward by God's promise. Let me just, this one's going to be like a million things fast, right? So if you're trying to write, you're going to have to write crazy, because I'm trying to move it into heavy application here. But I want to remind us what I think would be true of the characteristics of an encourager. The first one is found in verse 25, and that's it. They show up, right? It says, don't forsake the assembling of yourselves together as the habit of some, but encouraging one another. And the connection there is that the showing up is a part of the encouraging, to be there so that you can encourage. And if you are cocooning yourself, then you're cutting yourself off from being an encourager to people, right? As well as receiving encouragement. But in this particular case, we're talking about encouraging one another. So we should have a heart to show up in anticipation of the ways that God might open up for us to be an encouragement to our brothers and sisters in Christ. And we none of us can predict where and how God's going to open up that door. but we can know with confidence that God has said the place it should be happening is in the presence of the assembly. So we should be the kind of brother and sister that shows up. A second characteristic I would just remind us of and draw out really of the example of Christ is that we're going to have to be humble, right? Pride causes us to look down on people who are struggling, right? If your instinctive reaction when somebody is struggling because of the difficulty of their circumstances or struggling with disobedience is to sort of look down your nose at them, you're not going to be much encouragement to them, right? You're not going to be much encouragement because you think too highly of yourself, right? I would never struggle with that. So I don't know, what's wrong with you? I don't battle with that. So what's wrong with you? Right? It's going to have to be the kind of humility that Philippians 2 talks about where we actually don't think highly of ourselves, have any vain conceit, but we have a lowliness of mind and we're actually showing more interest in the interest of others than ourselves. Because pride causes us to look down at people rather than come alongside of them and try to encourage them. And pride does not produce a servant's heart, right? Because it's inherently selfish. So if I just put it this way, right? If you find it hard to see things to encourage people about, you might want to do a pride check. Because if all you ever see are the flaws of people, and all you ever see are things that you will criticize, then you're proud. That's, I mean, the easy way to say it, right? You're full of yourself. You think you're better than other people. You think you know better. You think you are better. Because it doesn't take much to be a critic, right? And if we're actually going to be the kind of person who genuinely can encourage people, it's because we come alongside of them, not we stand over them, right? And so we need to have a heart that's humble in that regard. I would suggest also we need to be a kind of faith-filled person. And what I mean by that is that we see things positively from the side of God's work, right? Like Paul to the Philippians. Right? He who began a good work in you will continue it until the day of Christ. Right? That's Paul having faith about this group of people. And obviously the Philippian church, I mean, if you're going to, people sometimes say we want to be the New Testament church. And, the snarky answer is like, which one? Do you want to be Corinth? Right? I mean, like, which one of these churches do you want to be? Because none of them were perfect. And we tend to look at the Philippian one and we think, that it's, it's the one we might want to be like because of the positive things that are there. But, in chapter 3, they got a problem with false teachers. In chapter 4, they've got church members who are fighting with each other, right? He has to address grumbling and complaining in chapter 2. So, I mean, they weren't a perfect church at all. But Paul could look at them and say, listen, if God began this work, he's gonna continue it until the day of Christ. So he was speaking positively because of his confidence in God. He had faith to believe that God would keep his own and would work in them. I mean, think of the church at Corinth. I mean, what a mess. Yet he starts that book thanking God for the work of God's grace in them, that they didn't lack in any gift, and it gave evidence of the fact that they knew God, right? He could see God's work in them, and because of that, he trusted God to keep it going. And when you come alongside of somebody, a part of what you have to have is the faith to believe that God can strengthen this person, can help this person, can work in this person. If you think they're beyond the help of God, you're not going to be much encouragement to them, right? I mean, if you don't think that the word is going to be sufficient and that the Spirit will work in them, that God's grace can sustain them, then you're not going to be a lot of encouragement to them. And sometimes we can approach people from the glass half empty side of life always, instead of actually seeing that God's at work and have faith to believe he can do that and bank on his promises. Because if we're really people of faith, we know that there is opportunity in every difficulty. Right? Paul is in prison and he knows the Philippians are worried about him. And he says, I want you to know how this has turned out for the progress of the gospel. Right? So, I mean, he's going, listen, like this might seem like just bad news, but look at how God's working through this. And he wants them to know so that they'll be encouraged to stand firm and not give in under the persecution they're experiencing at the end of chapter 1. Right? I'm in a Roman prison and God is actually using this to advance the gospel. Look at how powerful and how great God is. Right? He's encouraging them because his heart is full of faith. He trusts God. And clearly, it needs to come from a heart that is captivated by the love of Christ for us and for his people, because we would then see them as people that matter to the Lord. So we want to encourage them and help them. We want to see them continue to follow the Lord. So sometimes, and I know, like, we might be inclined to reduce this issue of speaking to whether we're, what we might be inclined to do is if our personality tilts toward introvert a little bit, we'd like to go, well, you know, that's somebody else's job. I mean, that's not me, right? Maybe I can do something that could encourage them, but I couldn't really say something. But Ephesians 4:15 puts a responsibility on all of us to speak truth. And so we might think it's not my personality, it's not my giftedness, but I think we need to, if we're really going to examine what's going on in our heart, we have to start to think about the fact of, is our focus on us, or is it on the people that have needs around us, right? Because if it's on us and not on the people around us, that is showing where our love is oriented to. Right? I want what's comfortable for me more than what I want best for you. Right? Because if I loved you, I would try to move toward what's best for you. All right, so how can we sharpen our focus on this? Now, here's what I want to do. I want to try to just get us to think about it practically in this way. Here's, if we're going to be encouraging, one thing that could help us is if, as we read and study the Bible, we know how God works and we're looking for his activity in the circumstances in a person's life. All right, for instance, you know from the scripture that God uses trials for our good. Right? James chapter 1, we're supposed to count it joy when we come into various kinds of trials, knowing that the trying of our faith produces endurance, and endurance, when it's had its perfect work, leaves us mature, complete. So I can look at anybody in a trial, and here's what I can know about God in it. God is at work, I'm assuming it's a believer. God is at work to use this to produce spiritual maturity in their life. Right? I know that. I got to add in 1 Peter. He uses a trial to prove their faith and purify it. Right? So I know he's doing that. That's what God is doing. I know that this is the kind of work God does in the life of believers. So I know that, right? I know that he uses our weakness to showcase his power. 2 Corinthians chapter 4:7 says, we have this treasure in earthen vessels so that the excellency of the power might be of him, and that he makes his power known in our weakness. So I see someone who's starting to be weary and feel worn out. And here's what I know about how God works. God actually uses our weakness to showcase his power. So I'm looking at that, knowing that that's what God does, right? I know that he can orchestrate the events of life to open doors. I just mentioned Paul's Roman imprisonment. I mean, think about all the stuff that happened to Paul in terms of his visit to the church of Jerusalem. And then his, you know, he basically is taken as a prisoner, and he sort of under house arrest in Caesarea, and then he's in shipwrecks, and he ends up in a Roman prison. And all that stuff is happening, and he knows God is in control of it. Right? God is orchestrating the events of Paul's life to accomplish his purposes, to write letters to the churches, to take the gospel to Malta, right? That's how the shipwreck resulted in the gospel going to Malta. To be in this Roman prison so that people in the very center of the Roman Empire, the Praetorian Guard, were hearing the gospel. And at the end of the book of Philippians, there are even believers in Caesar's household. Right? So we know God orchestrates the events of our lives, the events of nations, to carry out his purposes. We know those things, right? If we know those things, that can help us start to look for where we see God at work. Right? So we can then begin to speak truth to encourage somebody to see God at work in their circumstances too. Hey, you know, God uses trials to accomplish things with regard to our faith. So, and then move into the encouragement, right? Or, you know, I know this is a really difficult time you're going through. Let me just really encourage you to look to see what God's doing to open up doors for you in the midst of this, right? So I know how God works. So then I start to help people see that, all right? Secondly, I need to know how God's grace, or what God's grace produces, and look for evidence of it. Well, I'm just trying to simplify it, right? Take the fruit of the Spirit, right? The Spirit of God is producing that in people. Are we ever looking to see that in someone so that we could encourage them about it? Right? That's God's grace working in them. We see the fruit of the Spirit in their life, and so we say something to help point that out to them, to encourage them about what God is doing. It could be Christ-like character. If you look at, sometimes they're called, in the Bible, there's called vice lists, right? Things that are sinful. There's also virtue lists. Right? If we see the things that God has said he will produce in believers, and we're seeing that in somebody's life, that gives us an opportunity to encourage them to say, hey, can I just share with you what a blessing it is to see how God's working in your life? To encourage them. All we're doing is we're bringing to bear what we know from the scriptures about how the grace of God works and what it produces. He's given us gifts to be used and to produce good. So when we see somebody using their gift for the good of the body, it gives us a wonderful opportunity to say something, to encourage them in that use of that gift, right? To share with them what a blessing it's been. Or if we're seeing growth, right? They may be... It's evident that there were things that that they were concerned about in their life and God's helping them grow, they're being changed into the image of Christ, then we should affirm and encourage that, right? I mean, it doesn't have to, I mean, sometimes the problem for us is we wait for perfection. Right? I mean, you know, when a toddler takes his first step, you'd think they just ran a marathon, right? The parents, grandparents, oh, yeah. Why? Because you want them to take the second step, right? When, you know, I started to use a potty training reference. I'm just going to pull that one right off the table, all right? So we should be, it's technically called successive approximations, right? They almost get it. So we encourage them so that they'll keep making progress, right? Oh, that's so good. Keep going. But somehow we get a little older and we don't see the successive approximations. Right? We know they should maybe take 10 steps spiritually. So we're going to go, I'm going to wait till they hit number 9, then I'll cheer them across the finish line. Instead of actually going, hey, that's great. Keep going. Right? Trying to speak to encourage them about what we see happening and see them grow. So our focus, that's what I'm on. So let me encourage you as you look at the world around you among believers, right? Are you aware of how God is at work, and are you looking for his activity in people's lives? Are you aware of how God's grace produces things in people's lives, and are you looking for those so that you can encourage them? Right? We're actively trying to encourage one another all the more as you see the day approaching. Right? It's going to get darker and more difficult to serve Christ. So we need to not forsake the assembling of ourselves together, but encouraging one another all the more as you see the day approaching. So how does God work? And am I looking for how he's working so that I can speak words of encouragement? How does God's grace work in people's lives? And when I see it, right, that's what's in the Bible. I see that in you. Encourage them. All right, so simply sharpen our skills. All right, here's, if you think this way, all right, so when you're going to talk to somebody, try and encourage them. Let me encourage you to think, at least think through, if you're uncomfortable. If you're a natural encourager, just forget what I'm going to say right now. You can just park out. Figure out who the Tigers are going to be playing in the first round of the playoffs. I don't care what you're doing. If you're a natural encourager, you're probably already doing it well. But for those of you who it maybe doesn't come as easily and you always sort of feel like, I don't know what to do, let me just suggest that you think in three categories, right? You go, here's what I see, right? I see God at work in you, or God using you, or God sustaining you, or God growing you. Or if you flip that, you could say, I see you're in an open door right now. I hope you're seeing it. I see you have been a blessing to people because you're trying to serve Christ. I've seen you enduring. I've seen you showing Christ's character, right? Here's what I've seen. That gives me, right? And it's now this is like the mix and match part problem, right? But here's what I've seen. Your growth gives me great joy at seeing how you're following Christ, right? You're just expressing that your spiritual steadiness and progress, the way I've seen you serving Christ gives me confidence that God's going to use you, right? I've seen you use your gifts, and it gives me great confidence to know God's going to work through you, right? So what do you see? And that gives me, right? You've been a blessing to me. And that gives me a really deep sense of gratitude for the way that you've invested in my life or been a blessing to me or to my family, right? Here's what I've seen. That gives me, and then simply, so, and what's the match? I mean, if you see them in a trial and you go, hey, I see you're going through a trial and I see God sustaining you, and it just causes me to be grateful for your steadfastness. So keep pressing on. Don't quit. Keep following Christ. Right? Boy, what you did in that ministry was so helpful. And that gives me confidence that God's going to use you for the good of his body. So keep serving him, right? Don't neglect the gift he's given you. Keep on investing in people, right? Boy, the fact that you've been willing to obey Christ in a very tough circumstance produces, I mean, honestly, real joy and appreciation for your commitment to Christ. Don't get weary. Keep treasuring Christ above anything else. God has something special for you because you're obeying him, you're trusting him. Right? You see, it doesn't have to be complicated. Here's what I see. That gives me, and then you're trying to personalize the expression of that encouragement to them, and then point them forward, right? Push them forward. So keep following Christ. Stay true to the Lord. Guard your heart, right? So you're operating with a kind of practical approach to how you could be used by God to encourage others to remain faithful to the Lord and follow him. Rhetorical question, right? So I'm not asking you to raise your hand, but my guess, everybody in this room would love to periodically have someone just speak truth like that to you, right? To say, hey, I've seen how you've handled this difficult circumstance, and I just want you to know that's caused me to be thankful for your willingness to stand, and it's encouraged me to keep standing. So keep pressing on. I'm praying for you. Right? Just like nobody on the planet other than that person and you might know it happened, but there's someone above the planet who knows. Right? He knows. The labor of love we show for his name in ministering to the saints and still ministering, right? Think about it this way, right? If you have someone you deeply love who's going through a difficult time and seemingly discouraged, and someone comes along and encourages them, you know how that would well up in your heart. So think about the heart of Jesus when you care about the people that he cares about. Right? He died for them. So when you take time to encourage them, you are demonstrating how much Jesus matters to you, right? Because he loves his sheep. So let's press on. Let's try to move it past just like, well, yeah, we are encouraged to. How can we do that? How's God at work? What's God's grace producing? So when you spot it, identify it, share what's encouraging to you about it and what you want to encourage them about it, and then point them forward, encourage them to keep on going, all right? And God can use us to help one another follow Christ in that way. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the wonderful gift encouragement is to us that you have provided us with people who care and speak truth to us to help us stand and serve and grow. And we've benefited from it. It's been used by you. And we want to be used by you to help your people. And so make us a place that's marked by encouragement, that none of our learning and none of our striving against sin and our desire to be doctrinally precise and holy, faithful people, none of that should squash out encouragement. It should feed it. It should cause us to want to see others stand firm and pursue holiness and serve Christ. So help us not to hide behind an inward focus. Help us to move outward to one another, to encourage each other in our following of Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen.